It is finished. The final words that John records for us of our Lord on the cross, after receiving the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Who was he talking to when he said those words? We know that his mother was there, along with an aunt and Mary Magdalene and John, his beloved disciple, the writer of the gospel. They stood by the cross as well. There were soldiers standing there too, with their share of the loot and their drinks of sour wine. John's the only one who records these words for us, but the other three gospels tell us that Jesus gave up his spirit with a loud cry. It is finished. It wasn't a private remark. It wasn't a personal statement. Jesus meant for others to hear it. He meant for those gathered around the cross to hear it, friends and foes alike. He meant for his Father to hear it. And he meant for us to hear it. We who are gathered around the scripture that Christ gave to the church, when he spoke on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he spoke those words also for your ears. He said it for you. "It is finished," he said. But what does our Lord mean by these words? What was finished? On the one hand, anyone who heard it looking up at the cross would have seen that Jesus himself is finished. He speaks these words, and then he dies. And with him, it seems also that the hopes of his followers are finished. Those who have followed him so closely have also followed him to the cross, and now their hopes die with Christ, or so it seems. "It is finished" may seem like it means that the story is over, like it closes the last chapter of his life, like saying the end. And so it looked. Jesus hanging upon the cross looks like a total failure. His entire life's work looks like it has unraveled before his eyes, and the only comfort left is that his pain and his suffering have finally come to an end. Perhaps that's what it sounds like to us when he says, "It is finished." As if he says, "It is finished. Thank God it's over." Because we can relate to such despair. We can relate to such resignation. Jesus indeed suffers and dies. But don't think of these words as an expression of relief that his end has finally come. That's not what he means. As much as the cross looks to us and to the world like a failure, it was Jesus' destination. He said many times, how many times, that this would happen. On the other hand, it could appear that Jesus said, "It is finished," with satisfaction, like one might say at the end of a long and fulfilling personal journey. It's as though he has seen his work through to its conclusion, and we happen to overhear his words of self-congratulations. We can relate to the feeling of contentment at the end of a long and grueling project, when all is finished and nothing remains to be done. Does Jesus say these words to himself as a final pat on the back before he dies in peace? But no. These are not the words of someone who is merely self-satisfied and self-reflective, looking back at his accomplishments. It was with a loud cry that he said these words, "It is finished." It was a proclamation. If we would understand what Jesus has finished, then we must know what he started. It begins before the betrayal by Judas. It begins before his teaching and his miracles. It begins before Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, before the Magi came to the house, before the shepherds came from the fields, even before the Virgin Mary conceived, before time itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What began in Genesis is now finished and completed in Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created all things out of love and for love, and now in love, He has redeemed His creation. Since the first Adam sinned, and so brought sin and death to all people, the second Adam, the Word made flesh, became sin and death, in order to bring forgiveness, life, and salvation for all. Jesus is the true Adam, for He lived as God intended, as no Adam or Eve before or since has lived. Jesus, therefore, becomes the sacrifice whose blood takes away the sin of the world and whose death restores creation. He is the Lamb of God, and His is the blood of the new covenant. It is finished means that this work, the work of reconciling God and man, is complete in His death. There's nothing left to do, for He has done it all. There's nothing left for you to do except thank and praise God for Jesus and what He has done. This is what our Lord proclaims to you with these words from the cross. It is finished. His work is complete. His work on your behalf. And what He finished, He now gives out. John tells us that Jesus gave up His Spirit. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one who brings to you the forgiveness of sins. Our Lord's side was pierced, and from it flow the blood and water, the elements of life itself. Jesus, the second Adam, falls asleep in death, and from His side comes the new Eve, the church, created and sustained as you are by baptism and by the Lord's Supper. His finished work comes to you through Spirit, blood, and water. It is finished means you have forgiveness. You have life. You have salvation in Him. You see, for us, Jesus' death is not the end, but it is a beginning. In His death is our life. And now the only life we know is the life which comes from the blood and water that He gives. This is where you have life as well. In Christ's church, you receive the one thing that is really and truly finished, the death of Jesus Christ that reconciles you to God. In His name, amen.